What's up, Melanated family? This is your boy, Harrison, man. This is the Melanated Convo. I'm happy to be back for another week. I got another special guest here with me today. As you guys know, on the Melanated Convo podcast, we do a lot of talking about business. We do a lot of talking about entrepreneurship. But today on the show, I got a brother who's doing his best to master all of these, right? On the show with me today is a brother named Elliot Eddie, who is an entrepreneur. He has a board game, which is how I came in contact with him. He has a board game which teaches adults and children entrepreneurship. He is the CEO of DM Media Incorporated. He's the author of 5 published books, worldwide distributed independent filmmaker of 6 films, 4-time Virginia Public Speaking Champion, 2-time internationally awarded public speaker, the Toastmasters internationally 2016 World Champion of Public Speakers. So this brother gets it in for our community. It's extremely inspiring to have him on the show. So everybody, please do me a favor and welcome Elliot Eddie to the Melanated Convo. What's up, brother?
Wow. When you say it like that, I mean, goodness gracious. My brother Harrison, man, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for opening up your platform to me. I'm really honored.
Definitely. And like I was saying before we started, what I see you doing and the need for businesses and the need for a particular way of thinking in our community is so important to me. So whenever I see brothers who, because this is how I see it, Elliot, I simplify it. Men in general, you can get a job which has 401k and benefits and buy a house, raise your family, go on fishing trips, go on family vacation, and that can be it. And that's not a bad life, right? But every time I see a brother who steps outside of that, who chooses to use their influence in who they are to inspire others, to start businesses, to leave a legacy in a different way, I'm just absolutely inspired by that, because I know that's much more difficult. You see what I'm saying? Forging that type of path isn't as easy as clocking in a 9-to-5, regardless of how much money you make in a 9-to-5. If you know what you're going to do every day for 8 hours, it simplifies things. I'm learning that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, it's beautiful because we need people like that as well, but we also need the innovators. You know, we need the people who have something else that they just dream of, that they feel like, you know, the world needs a piece of, to go ahead and drive through and push that through. And I think even our people who grind in, the 9-to-5ers, you know, who hold it down because we need that workforce, I still think each one of them has either a product, a service, or a message that is inside of them, that is innate with them, that they need to get outside, to get out. So entrepreneurship is not just about, you know, just becoming a empire builder, and you know, even though that's hopefully part of it, but entrepreneurship is also about realizing that spirit inside of you that creates for the value of others.
Very true. And what I'm learning the past 3 or 4 years, becoming a business owner, becoming someone who is taking the thoughts I have in my mind and disseminating to the public, money is important, right? That's what you want to eventually get to. But what I'm learning, Elliot, is just the journey. Taking my intellectual property and introducing it to people and their response from it, there's a feeling I get from that I don't care what type of job I'd work in my whole life. It doesn't match that. You know what I mean? So I'm always telling people, even if it isn't for money, you know what I mean? Find something within yourself that you can do that makes you happy. I know too many people, Elliot, who may be okay financially with their job, but they talk bad about it. Oh, they can't wait till 5 o'clock come. Oh, they can't wait till the weekend. And I don't think that's a good thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you only get that one life on earth. And I think what you said is paramount, man. You know, people look at entrepreneurs and hopefully you hit it big and you do whatever your idea of success is. But really, entrepreneurship is about providing value. You know, if you provide the value, the money will come. You know, you might have to grind in the beginning. Chances are you will have to grind in the beginning. You will have to put in your perspiration, but you produce value. People are attracted to the value that you are providing. It's not about, you know, the money is good, but it's not about the money, you know, because even someone who is providing information about how to live this life, whether it's you, a mother of 12, and you're teaching other people how to navigate that. And you never become a millionaire. Success is not defined by the amount of money that you have. It's really about defining about, you know, that you have the basics that you need, but you have more than that so that you can give back to the rest of those who need to do it. And then, you know, and that's where the blessing is. And the rest of it comes as you do that. You know, the rest of it is piled on you. That's what I believe.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk really quick about, I just want to get your take on, because I understand why the entrepreneur game was important. To everybody listening, he has a game called the Entrepreneur Game, which is the first game that was accredited by, it's a STEAM game, which is science, technology,
engineering
and math. This is important because a lot of these subjects are subjects that aren't taught as much in our school as far as the careers that are based around them, right? So tell me, what influenced you to make this board game?
You know, I'll tell you straight up. I came back from doing some competing and speaking, and I said, I'm going to go back in the community. I started doing a workshop for entrepreneurship for the children through the public library. Free workshop. I would do it during the summer. A couple of weeks, I have like 20 kids or something and their parents. One day I'm going around the room and I'm asking them each of the young children, what type of business would you like to open if you can open it right now? I got to one 14-year-old young man and he said, I can't open a business. You have to be special to open a business. And I'm not special. And man, that just, it kind of shifted the way I saw things, you know, because to me, I saw a young man, first of all, he knew how to fix bikes. So he didn't even realize that he had a business that had like no overhead, you know, like no. But what it really said to me is that nobody in his life was teaching him that what he has was valuable to society. You know, when he goes to the local store, he sees himself as a customer and not as a producer. So in that case, I just looked around the room and I said, how many people have a bike? Everybody raised, or know somebody who have a bike. Everybody raised their hand. And I said, well, look around the room. These are potential customers. You are a business owner. So I came back and I said, well, you know, this one young man represents millions of children around the world and adults. You know, what can I do to really help them understand that they have value? You know, they have something in their hand that they can provide. And I started thinking about games. You know, I grew up on Monopoly. I'm a killer. I never lost a game since 1972, I believe. I lost one, but that was because I was playing myself. But you know, I love Monopoly. Now, it didn't teach me per se how to buy and sell real estate, but it got me interested. So I said, you know, what if there was an entrepreneur game like that? So I did the search on the internet. There wasn't anything like that. So I saw a problem and I tried to fix it the best I could.
Definitely, definitely. So let's talk about that for a minute, because sometimes in our community, Elliot, let's say we have a parent who works a 9-to-5, who does not come from money, who does not have business acumen. How can a parent like that motivate or influence their child to become a business owner or become an entrepreneur if it's something that they themselves haven't forged upon? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So first of all, it's about some information. You know, you do have to take the onus on yourself to go out and find some information about entrepreneurship. You know, just read a little bit, find out what it's about. I think, you know, you have to connect yourself, but you have to connect your child. You have to be able to allow your child to dream, you know, to be imaginative, to, you know, sit there while they tell their stories, you know, give them options, tell, you know, YouTube is probably good. Between Google and YouTube, you can know anything you want to know on this earth. Encourage them to find it. When I was growing up, I would ask my mother, how do you spell supercalifragilistic? And she would say, go look it up. And I'm like, how am I gonna look it up if I don't know how to spell it? But it gave me a sense of going and trying to find out some information. And I think those are the things. It's really about discovery, discovering information, but also discovering who you are. So for those parents, I would say, you know, first of all, allow your children the freedom of discovery, of imagination. You know, that has been cut off from us from a very early age. You know, public schools is just about do these standardized tests and score on this. But, you know, what happened to home economics? What happened to woodwork? I don't know how many of those little ceramic unicorns I made growing up and painted. What happened to music, you know, playing instruments? So we have to give the children the freedom to have imagination again. And that's part of what STEM is. And I know that's the long answer, but
that's good.
You really got to go to the foundations. The mindset is the hardest thing to change. You know what I'm saying? So, but we have to be able to get information. We have to inform in order to explore. And very, I think that's what we have to do.
Gary, a very good point, brother. Definitely. Now, why do you think, because when we talk about business ownership in the Black community, that's a passion of mine, because I understand all the difficulties my people have to deal with. But Elliot, in general, business ownership in general is difficult. Like most Americans just don't own businesses. Why do you think this country, through our public school system, through what we see on TV, through our indoctrination, why do you think this country wants us to be workers so much? Yeah. Why is business ownership kind of like over there, but working, getting into the formula of a job and school? Why is this country pushing us in that direction, in your opinion?
Well, I think, you know, a free thinker is dangerous in a lot of different ways. You know, innovators are dangerous in a lot of different ways because they don't really conform to the ideas and ideologies that that a certain group may have that want to push a certain agenda. I think it's so the idea is if you create drones, you create people who are dependent and think the same, you can push them in the directions you need them to go. But what we really need, the thing is, America itself was built off the back of innovators. You know, whether, you know, whatever, you know, I know just as a Black man, I love the fact that I can look through history and I can see how we've innovated through all things. But people, period, you know, not just us, but every nationality, you know, they're built off the back of innovators. And we have to keep that spirit alive. You know, the times are changing to where now it is technology based, it is science based, it is engineering based and mathematical. We use math in every single thing we do, from driving a car, figuring out how much we have to slow down before we move over. You know, all, it's all math. So we have to understand and break free of that. There's people who, you know, it's easier to control people when they have less information, which is why they've done that to ethnicities throughout time, you know, all over the earth. But I think that's what's happening. But we have to change the narrative, and we have to see, you know, what's going on and decide how we're going to move forward.
Definitely. Now, something I wanted to touch on really quickly here. I seen that you had, which I thought was very innovative, which I thought was necessary, especially someone in your position. I seen that you had an ultimate entrepreneurs competition in November, right?
I did.
How'd that go?
Man, it was great. All right. So, for the background for the game, I have the original game, which is basically a game to teach you how to start and grow a home base and brick and mortar business into an empire. And you do everything, marketing, sales, investing, critical thinking, all of those things. So, and then I expanded it to this. It's all going to connect, I promise. I expanded it to three other games. One is in Spanish. One is called Vetrepreneur, which is for our veterans coming back from those situations and blending into civilian life. And another one is called Rise of the Returning Citizen, which is directed toward incarcerated and recent released individuals to help them, you know, because that's a whole, you know, recidivism, that's a whole nother issue.
Yes, it is.
So what I did is I created an online game as well. The Ultimate Entrepreneur Competition, because of COVID this past year was online. Well, no, actually, that was in person. I had one online and one in person, but it was great. We had kids and adults come together, play at 9 o'clock in the morning on one of the coldest mornings you had out here. And the children are in here talking about building businesses and, you know, equity and buying stock and buying, you know, precious metals. And I think it was great. It's important because, number one, it engages that competitive spirit, because we all have that little competitive spirit. So, but within the bounds of entrepreneurship, which they'll take back to them when they, you know, when they go back home, they'll keep that with them. I hope I answered your question.
No, definitely. Okay, so that's good. It's motivating kids and motivating people to it, because sometimes, and like you was talking about the kid with the bike, like being a business owner isn't easy. But sometimes it's a little easier than you think. Like taking your ideas and the things you want to do, putting them on paper, beginning to execute them. Sometimes you're a little closer than you think you are. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's important that you say that. I appreciate that. So, you know, business ownership is, number one, it's about keeping things straight. In business ownership, you have the vision. Everybody knows how to do what they do. If you know how to cook cakes, you know, whatever you do, you know how to do that. For business, what you have to do is be responsible to keep records. That's what business is. So you have to plan and do all that other stuff. But where businesses get hurt is that they don't chart their income. They don't chart their expenses. So as a structure, you have to be able to say, you know, what you're spending on what you're doing and what each one of those things are. Are you buying supplies? Are you buying, you know, are you buying, investing in more product? You know, what are you doing? So the idea of doing business is really, like you said, simpler than you think. If you learn to keep records, because business can be taught, if you learn to keep records, that'll keep you straight for your business, knowing how much money you're making or spending and your taxes. So I have a tax preparation business. And then the rest of it is just learning how to find who your audience is and how to get your information in front of your audience. So the I often tell you, it's kind of interesting. Entrepreneurship and business ownership are two different things. Just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean that you're a good business owner. So entrepreneurship is the spirit of innovation, the spirit of creation. Most of us have that inside of us. So that's why you can talk to people and they're saying, oh, man, I got a great idea. Let's see this happen. Because entrepreneurship is about solving problems, right? An entrepreneur is a problem solver. So if you see that there's a need in this community, then you solve that problem. That is the spirit of entrepreneurship. How can I provide value? But then you have business ownership, which is more, you know, more write it down, more hard, more legal. You know, you're dealing with taxes. You just have the regular rigmarole of actually owning a business. So they're really two different things. Just because you're an entrepreneurship and you can bring ideas, you have ideas, doesn't mean you know how to execute those into a market and start making and collecting and getting money. Right. So that's why I say you can learn business ownership. Classes are everywhere. YouTube will teach you business ownership. How do you set up a corporation? What are your bylaws? You know, how do you get an EIN number? Those things are free. You know, those are the things for business that we have to do. But entrepreneurship is solving problems.
I'm learning something. So you're saying, in essence, I could be an entrepreneur and no, I'm not that good of a business person, but hire somebody.
Hey, there we go.
With the business side.
There we go. And and traditionally, we are nervous about bringing people on because the first thing we think is, oh, man, I got to pay money.
You
got to get over that mindset, because that's why you have to have a team. You know, you have to have a team around you to do the things that you are not good at doing. Right. You might be the visionary and say, oh, man, I can see the future on this. And I can see if we do it like this, this, this and this, you know, it's going to work. But now if you're not the person that knows how to carry it through to the end, you need somebody who's like a type A personality that knows how to get things done on time. Make those phone calls, send those emails, do that social media. You need people to do the things that you're not strong in. And then if you want to get strong in them, that's fine. Learn how to do it. It's a lot of work. So, you know, but, you know, how hands-on do you want to be? And if you're not going to be hands-on in the area, you still need somebody that knows that information.
This is wonderful. Everybody, please listen to what this brother is saying, because I'm, again, being new to business, I look for different places for inspiration, and me having a podcast and having a YouTube channel, and I do a lot of stuff on social media, and I'll be doing all these different events. One of the biggest things I'll be thinking, Elliot, is, damn, man, I need some help. but I don't know. But sometimes I don't know what direction to go in. Sometimes, just like you said, I'm thinking, damn, I don't got the money to pay somebody what they would be worth right now. So this is important, because when I watch, it could be a show I like, a podcast I like, anything I like. Now I'm seeing that I see the person in front of the camera who does a great job, but it always seems like there's several people behind them actually making it happen. So that's important what you're saying, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Even when I do these webinars to teach, you know, some of this business information, you know, my wife is in the background on Facebook, you know, answering questions and putting up stuff and engaging people, you know, so even at a bare minimum, it's good to have someone there. And you have to find those people. You know, quite honestly, everybody that's for you ain't for you, or say they're for you. You know, you have to find those people, but you have to be able to recognize them when you find them, and let people do what they do. You know, don't try to put extra burdens on them. Let them do what they do, and they'll show you what they do and what they do well, and you encourage that. And you know, you partner where you can, and you make a win-win situation when you can, and that's how you grow.
Definitely. So for because a lot of my audience are regular Black people, right, who don't necessarily own a business, 9-to-5 type people, but they ask me questions about these things. And a lot of people, you know, want to own something. They think it's cool, right? Sometimes they don't know how hard it is, but they think it's cool. They think it's a good thing. So tell me, for like a new business owner, doesn't come from a lot of money, what are some of the key things you think that makes them fail? Like the early on process, what are the things they miss that create an environment where they don't actually succeed?
Okay. First thing is that is within yourself. You know, it's a mindset, you know, saying things out of your mouth, like, I can't do this, or, you know, nobody wants to help me with this, or, you know, this is too big. You know, I think first you're creating your path with the words that you speak. Those words are important. So, you know, you have to be able to see the vision and be able to say, you know, this is good. I can do this, or I can find this, or I can get this information. So the first thing is you have to be able to be built up yourself. Once you get the mindset and say, look, man, I can go out here and do it. I can do it with the best of them. I'll do it my best ability. Let the chips fall where they may, and wherever it's falling, I'll pick it up and decide that I'm going to do it. That's the biggest thing, the decision that I am going to do this no matter what. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to do this. And then walking that walk every single day. That's what it is, every single moment. And let me share this real quick. So a lot of people think that, you know, let's say you were a event planner, and that's what you wanted to do. All right. So you decide you're going to do an event, and you do your first event. It's off the chain, but nobody comes. Right. Then you say, okay, I'm not going to let that harm me. I'm going to do another event. You do another event. It's more beautiful than the first, but nobody comes. You have like two people in the seat. Now, normally you would say, okay, well, I'm not good as an event planner. But see, with entrepreneurship, you have to think about it a different way. There is no failure in entrepreneurship. It's not that you're not a good event planner. What it is that you're missing some information. You're missing the information that you're missing is how to get people in the seats. So you know how to do the event planning, you know how to put the event together, but you have to go back and get that information to find out how to put them in the seats. And once you get that and add it to it, you can't be stopped. So, you know, this is the mindset that we have to have. You have to be able to say, okay, be resilient and persistent, and just say, you know, I'm going to take some knocks. My family might not like it. They might talk stuff about me. You know, my friends might say, I'm not going to buy your book, or I ain't buying your product. But you have to look beyond that and be able to say, you know what, I'm going to keep going because I have something that is of value to someone. It's what is it, like 8 billion people in this world. Mm-hmm. That's something that somebody needs.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So something else I want to go back on really quickly that we spoke about briefly. What do you think is the connection between our educational system in our jail system? Because I was reading something a few weeks ago, Elliot, and it mentioned something to the effect of a lot of the men and women who are in prison are actually illiterate, right? A lot of the men and women in prison are actually educationally challenged, right? So to me, I heard that and thought, okay, well, that may make someone violent, right? If I can't express myself a particular way, I can't articulate myself, that may make me want to lean more towards being a violent. What do you think about that?
Man, listen, I was doing a event in Williamsburg, Virginia. It was for homeschooling kids, and I was doing, you know, I had my game out there, and right next to me there was a young lady who was selling a book. Great young lady, and her husband was there. Now her husband was a police officer. Now we were sitting there, and we were trying to hold conversations with him, and I kid you not, this gentleman could not put together a well-formed sentence for the entire time. And we'd be sitting there for hours. He couldn't put together a well-formed sentence. If you asked a question and tried to engage him in conversation, he couldn't speak well. Whatever was in his head, he couldn't get it out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. And one of the things my wife and I said is, you know, this is symptomatic of more than just race, but of a mindset, because the only choice he has now is to be violent with people who he can't communicate with. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing holds true in the school system. If you're adhering strictly to a set of rules so you can get money, you know, certain tests or whatever, and you're not really teaching people to be well-rounded and be able to critically think and make decisions, then you're creating that same sort of situation as I saw with that cop. You have people in positions of power over other people who can't communicate, and that just brings down a system. That brings it, where else can they go? You know, if you can't imagine yourself past where you are, then all you can imagine is down. You can't imagine up. So now we're talking about crime. Now we're talking, and we know there's a prison, a school to prison pipeline. We already, yeah. I mean, that's not even, you know, that's not even up for debate. So when you add all of those things together, that's where the money is made in the system. So just keep pumping them there. But that's why they don't want innovators, free thinkers, because that changes the game. It changes the system. You can no longer just do that. People are going to think their way out, and eventually they're going to get other people to begin to think and use their talents, and we have a different situation that's a little bit unmanageable. It's a shame, but you know, let's call it what it is.
Definitely. Now, just real quick, I want to touch on the story you just told. The gentleman you were talking about was a police officer?
Absolutely.
So that makes sense.
I'm thinking now, if we're on the streets, and you come and ask me a question, and I come back with you as a human being, as a man, you know, as a grown man, and I have a discussion with you, and you can't express yourself. Now, of course, that means now you feel lesser. Mm-hmm. So that means now if I'm expressive, you know, I'm 6'4", so if I'm expressive, so if I start moving my hands because you can't speak to me, now you have no idea, nothing to do but say, oh, you're a threat, you know? Mm. So my question to that was, how did he pass the test to get the gun you wonder about systems that's so easy to be, you know, to be infiltrated like that. And I'm not coming down on them per se, but you know, this is prevalent through any system that you have, you know, corporate, same thing. You know, if you've gotten there for whatever reason and you see somebody that's articulate, that knows how to get his point across, and you feel threatened, now you've just wiped away a whole generation of wealth because you don't want to give somebody a chance. In the toy industry, same thing. You know, all these toys go around, but how many of us are represented? Did you know Lonnie Johnson created the Nerf gun and the Super Soaker? Sold over $3.4 billion worth of games and inspired generations. How often do we know that the inventor of that was a black man? You know, information, because if I can't see it, then I'm not going to be it. You know, if I didn't know that that Ken Johnson was a black man who invented Phase 10, which is the second best-selling card game in the world for like 30 years, I can't do it. What if I got a card game? I don't see these people. What I see is a test in school that I'm having a little trouble passing because they're not really giving me the right information. So anyway, I can go on, but
you know, no, but wow, that's an angle, because I'm this whole time I've been thinking about, you know, I got brothers and cousins and men in my family who've had to go through the penitentiary system. Some of them have been slightly institutionalized. Some of them have trouble reading and writing and these type of things. And I'm thinking, okay, from the prisoner standpoint, it's going to be so easy for this brother to go back, because when he gets in society, he doesn't feel comfortable. And we not even knowing, he don't feel comfortable reading. Forget filling out an application. Mm-hmm. He can't comprehend what he read on the application. That has to be demoralizing. But on the other end, we can have a cop who dealing with the same thing. He just got a gun. Ain't that something?
Yeah, wow. Controlling the lives of everybody else, or with influence over the lives. Yeah, I mean, and it happens. You know, it happens far too often. So we got to catch them while they're young, and just, you know, it's like I said, it's a way of thinking. Change the way they're thinking. You know, change the things that they're seeing. Mm-hmm. You know, who are you seeing? Yeah, you don't have to be. They don't have to be your heroes to be able to see them. you know, to know that, you know, I'm listening, I'm in the air conditioning, and the black man created the air conditioner. You know, and that's not just for black people, that's for all people, and especially other ethnicities. But, you know, that's why they don't, you try to stop people from seeing those things, and then they're easier to control.
That's so important you say that, Elliot, because that's why another part of my channel is I focus on history. Like for me, some people change their life and become the person they are because of several things. Sometimes it could be church or God or a relationship. For me, Elliot, it was Black history. Hmm. Black history allowed me to see myself in a different way. Learning everything we've been through, a part of me said, oh, we not just these fucked up individuals. There were things that was put in place to bring us where we are now. That not only helped my confidence, but it allowed me to look at my people and love my people differently. Because yeah. I'm like, okay, you don't even know what you're going through. You don't even know the psychological type of warfare that's been placed on us. So I'm going to forgive you because you don't know. You know what I mean? That mm-hmm. that it's important you say that. Now, something else I want to touch on. Some of the events I have, my family's business, which is a funeral home, actually, we are in the urban community, like a part of the town that I was raised in, right? But mm-hmm. when I'm around my people, when I'm around kids, right, black kids, hip-hop, basketball, these type of things is way too prevalent in their psyche as far as what they can do with themselves. And me being a younger kid, I was one of these kids, like, what you gonna be when you grow up? I'm gonna be Michael Jordan. I mean, what the hell? Like, I'm just saying, what's around me? This isn't hot. This isn't good, though. Like, ultimately, you don't want to kill someone's dreams, but enough of that. Like, we need to do other things, right? So how do we get a young man who loves hip-hop, who's enthralled in the culture, which is violence, guns, jewelry, you pick what it is. How do we get that young man to say, you know what? I can be an engineer. I can be a doctor. I can be something different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exposure. You know, it's all about exposure. That's why platforms like yours is so very important to be able to give a different type of exposure to, you know, the possibilities. You know, we don't see that. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to be able to get back in front of our children. You know, we have to get our faces back in front of our children. We have to be able to be seen and be touched by our children. The reason I say that is when I was growing up, I grew up in the South Bronx. I grew up Pentecostal. So, you know, there was a lot of church going and, you know, a lot of things was the devil and evil. But what it did is, you know, some of that time I spent then reading. You know, I go into houses where there are no books and there's nothing to read, no magazines, no nothing. So, you know, you have to have something for a child's vision to set on, to expand their vision beyond what they're living in, no matter where they're living. So I think the first thing is getting brothers like us, brothers like myself, brothers like you, and people who are doing things back in front of the children so that they can see. They want to be Michael Jordan because they see him on TV. They see him in the internet. You know, they want to be you know, the rap art, the top rap artist, because they see these cats that look like they came up and came out of nowhere, which they don't even know. That's a whole other story. But they came out of nowhere and now they're making all the money. They got the jewels. They got the women. They got the cars. What about some of these other images? That's why it's important for us to show them. If you're a nerd like I am and you into toys, you need to see a Lonnie Johnson, a Ken Johnson. You need to see, what's this other brother, Lamont Evans, who invented the Easy Bake Oven. Come on, a brother invented the Easy Bake Oven. You know, you need to see these people who are doing all of these things. If you are, you know, no matter what field you're in, you need to see these images. So we got to get back in front of our children, make a concerted effort, get broadcasts like yours in front of more people, have people share it, have people tweet it, have people, you know, do everything so they can see the images and know, you know, I could play ball. Me, I could play ball, but that's not where my lane is right now. Oh, I kill him. I'll go out there and kill him right now. But that's not where my lane. That's not where my lane is. You know, I do that for fun. You know, I break ankles for fun. That's all I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? It's a free thing. You know, I'll help you up on your way out. But, you know, get us in front of the people. That's what it is right there.
And you know something? It's funny you say that, too, because I grew up in a particular community. I dress a certain way. My brothers and the men around me had to engage in certain activity. So being raised in that environment, because they didn't, and I know this now, because they didn't feel good about themselves, they wore jewelry. They made sure they had on a Jordans. Like, these is my real estate. This is me saying I'm important, right? So a lot of these ways of, like, looking, and I still have them today, right? But I made sure I kept it, because even though I consider myself an intellectual, even though I'm not hood at all, like, I'm admitted square. I've always said this since high school, but I look a particular way because I want the kids to know you can kind of look like you can look cool, but like to read. Yeah. You can look cool, yeah, but don't want to do nothing in the street. You can look cool, but carry a book around. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. We have to, just like you're saying, we have to change in our kids' minds. You look a certain way, you do a certain thing. That don't have to be the case. I, like you and several brothers I've had on my show, if you talk to them, they're going to sound cool as any black man you've ever heard. It just so happened they own a business. It just so happens he's at a school. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Normalize that. It's okay. Yeah. It's okay to want to build robots and want to, you know, it's okay to do those things. I think, you know, I'll tell you what, man. I'm in Toastmasters here in Virginia. I went to an event where I was speaking at a Edition conference. I won the conference. Now, of course, you know, with the Toastmaster thing, I got on the suit and the tie, you know, I got the little little cologne thing and all that on. I'm clean. That's all I'm saying. I'm clean. But then what happens is, after the event was done and I finished speaking and I won the speech competition, I went back to my room, and that's when the Bronx came out of me. I put on my hoodie, I had on my bubble vest, I had on my Tims, my jeans, you know what I'm saying? And I'm walking through the lobby. Now, one of the people who knows me and just seen me was clapping and voted for me, I went and tapped her on the shoulder and she jumped out of her skin. She was like, oh my God, it's over, the apocalypse. Jesus Lord, take me now. You know, and I'm like, okay. And then I gave her a second. I didn't move because I'm 6'4", all movements. I got to move slow because people they just be tripping. So after a few seconds, she saw it was me and she said, I didn't recognize you. And my point of this is that, you know, you can be who you are. Just understand, you know, there's a perception of whatever, but you can be who you are. In this case, I was being who I am. Now, if someone else had a issue with how they perceive me, whether I should be in a suit or whatever the case may be, really that's not my problem. All right. So my main thing is I have to be who I am and be honest to me and who I am. And that's part of integrity and character. Just be you all the time. Maybe you're misunderstood from here and there. Maybe, you know, you got your bubble vest on and they're thinking, well, you can't do the corporate thing. You have to understand you have to be you. And you have to allow yourself to, because that's part of your growth. And that's part of you growing into entrepreneurship and a business, being able to hear your voice and know what it sounds like when something in your gut is telling you this is the way you should go. And that's just a simple version of it, but it really ties together.
No, it does. It does. And I tell people all the time, like, looking at, I'm happy now that I'm 40, 41. And, you know, I wasn't a kid when social media came out, because I don't know how I would have responded to all the information, to all the body shaming, to everybody thinking that they're doing well. Like, it's important to know who you are. When I talk to people about being in any relationship, a relationship with your woman, a relationship with your kids, a relationship with business, any of these things, first things first, you have to know who you are. You have to be grounded and be comfortable with who you are. Sometimes on social media and different platforms, we see people struggling with trying to be who they are, struggling with trying to make people happy, struggling with the need for attention. You know what I mean? So we live in a crazy time, Elliot, where, you know, knowledge and getting an understanding of things, like you said, platforms like mine, all these things are necessary, because I can only imagine being 13 years old and 2020. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I grew up when computers was like in the late 80s, beginning of the 90s, when personal computers were being introduced. So I'm kind of analog and digital. And I've seen how life has changed, man. And it is a trip. you know, anytime you can have children that are commit suicide because other people are online doing these things, you know, we got bullied. I grew up, there was families of bullies in the neighborhood. You know, I ran in terror of many bullies. You know what I'm saying? And terrified. Today is like a whole different thing. It's not even, you know, it's a whole different thing to deal with, you know, in today's society. And that, I think part of that is because of identity. People don't really have an identity. So they try to project something, or, you know, because if you have an identity, part of this, well, let me not go there, but yeah, I think that's a problem. And I think the way we do that is we redirect people into their gifts and their talents and let them focus on that, let them focus on educating themselves, and then hopefully give less stock to the craziness that they see. Easier said than done, but, you know, that's the project.
Right. And that, you're right. That's the project. And I think as adults, especially if you have kids, it's important to make sure that they know they're loved. Make sure that you understand what's going on their phone. Make sure you know who their friends are. Make sure you talk. I have 5 kids. Elliot, my youngest, is 14. We talk about everything, man. I can't put the wool over his eyes like parents used to do before. Everything is right in his face. So yeah. I have to talk about everything. He's in high school now. I got to talk to you about drugs. I got to talk to you about TikTok. I got to talk to you about being on live. I got to talk to you about going to a party with your friends and recording what's going on in the party. You can't do that. You see what I'm saying? There's certain things that we didn't have to deal with, but I'm like, technology it's beautiful, but it can get you put in jail. It can get you implicated. And you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you got to figure, you know, somebody told me once, no matter how hard you work to make your money, somebody's working just as hard to take it. In this instance, you know, no matter how hard you're working to do something, there's nefarious characters out there with the onslaught of internet. You know, to me, I love it because there's information right at your fingertips, but there's a dark side as well. And they have to be, you know, if nobody hears it, they're not going to know to look out for it. And they're not going to know what to do when they confront it. So, we have a lot more questions that we have to answer, and a lot, you know, we got to keep people straight. So we got to keep them informed about the good parts of life, the things that they can do, how they can produce life, how they can produce value. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that'll save a number, and we'll work on saving some more as we go on.
There we go. Because sometimes, brother, I'm being in a position now where my whole platform is about empowering my people. Like I spoke with my friends before I did this, and I was like, maybe I should do a show about sports, about relationships. I'm like, nah, I like those things, but this is my passion. This is why I get up every day. But sometimes I'm discouraged. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I see some of my people and I'm like, damn, like enough of the nigga shit already. I'm so enthralled in my neighborhood and I speak the language and I'm with all that, but come on, man, just stop hurting each other. Like, come on. We making it easier. We already have a target on our back. We're already in this society based on racism and classism. And every turn, you may have to deal with some of these things. We can't be our own worst enemy at the same time. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We got to turn the tide. A friend of mine who works for the city of Richmond, and he tells me about what's going on, and you know, the things that are going on are crazy. Things that these young cats are doing are crazy. But I think one of his solutions is great, and that's what we've been talking about: is we got to get representation back in there while they're young, inside the neighborhoods. We can't really expect them all to come out. You know, we got a lot of brothers out here that are moving and shaking. A lot of brothers, and like I said, it's not about how much money you got, but it's about, you know, it's about your quality of life. You know, I mean, not quality of life, but really the quality of what you're giving back, what you're doing, how you provide information, you know, that sort of thing. And we got to be hands on this thing. If we're going to change it, we got to be hands on. We could talk about it. We could talk about it and just watch it. But if we're really going to change it, we got to be hands on. We got to be in the community. We got to be addressing the problems at hand. Cats don't want to hear you talking about, you know, 30 years ago. They need to know how to survive today. Well, how to get out of what they're doing as surviving and learn to live. They need that now. You know, there's cats that don't know how to do hygiene, you know, don't know how to groom themselves. Ain't that the truth? Put on, you know, deodorant and brush their teeth every day. We got to be hands on, man. you know, it's all hands on deck. If we're going to change, for all of us that say we want to change something, you know, each one of us got to grab somebody or grab somebody's and be present.
Yep. And like someone older than me told me a long time ago, man, in order to lead people, you got to feed people. Right. So you got to be given something. You go on a corner and tell a young dude, stop selling drugs. His mom on drugs. He ain't got no food in his refrigerator. It's kind of difficult to tell him stop doing that if you can't provide him with a job or, hey, go talk to this dude. He gonna hire you for a couple hours a day. You know what I mean? So we got to be contextual, too, and empathetic about what these young men are going through.
Yeah, because, you know, even a cat like that, you know, the their potential is high. You know, all they need to do is really change their product.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Ain't that the truth?
Just change the product, and but the basics of what they're doing, the basic economics, the basic business, what they're doing is, you know, is applicable. So yeah, help them understand that, and we have to understand it's okay to start somewhere while you're working on where you're trying to go. My wife always says that you know, her job life pays for her real life, and that, you know, well, you can start somewhere, and then, you know, work on it, and then you get there. You know, time's gonna pass anyway. What you gonna do while it's passing?
Yeah, definitely. Now, one more question I had, because I thought this was pretty cool, like doing all the stories I do about history and stuff. This interests me. I see you were inducted to like the Black Inventors Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, right now I'm nominated. I haven't been inducted yet, but
Okay.
But yeah, that's quite an honor, man. I can't even. Wow. I can't
that's dope,
even.
Man. That's dope. And just everything you doing, you're marking your spot in history, brother. And I don't know how financially successful you are from this stuff or whatever, but just watching it and seeing it get done is extremely inspirational to me and people like me. So I take my hat off to you, brother, for choosing to do these things. Because like we were saying earlier, you could have went to college and got a really nice job at a really nice company and just worried about the people in your household, and that would have been good. You know what I mean? But choosing to help us out, choosing to go and speak to people, because I understand how difficult public speaking can be, but I understand the need for it as well. So the path that you chose to forge on, brother, I thank you for doing what you do for us. You know what I mean?
Man, I'm touched. I really appreciate that. I don't take those words lightly, you know, and it's, thank you. Thank you.
Definitely. So we're going to wrap it up here. Tell everybody, where can they get the Entrepreneur Game?
Okay. Well, you know, it's on Amazon everywhere, but I would prefer that you get it through my website, which is educationalgamestore.com. You can go on the site, you can see that, you'll see some videos on it, you'll get more information about that and the other games. You can contact me through there if you want to chat or talk about it. Eventually, when I'm turning the tides this year, and I'm going to start bringing other Black inventors or other inventors, but, you know, I need to empower us as well, because we're not spoken for in this industry, and bring those on, so you'll get more than just the Entrepreneur Game. But yeah, come over there. If you like Amazon, you can go to Amazon. It's on there too, and a few other sites. But yeah, educationalgamestore.com.
Definitely. Now, do you have any, you're on social media, right?
I definitely am. If you do a Google search on the Entrepreneur Game, everything is going to come up. I'm on Facebook under my name, which is Elliot Eddie. And then in the rest of them, Instagram, all the rest of them is the Entrepreneur Game. Just put that in and I'll pop right up.
Got it. Well, thank you very much, brother, for joining us today. Everybody, please go out and buy this game. If you've been thinking about a business, so many people that follow me on Facebook or follow me on different social media sites, they have business ideas and they have like a very small idea about it, just as far as they don't have a website yet. They're not selling it to people everywhere. It's kind of just a hustle right now. Mm-hmm. Some people have small hustles that they haven't quite made a business, but you can make it a business. The fact that you hustling, I like that. Like I was saying, you could just work a job and stay there, but people who work then go home like, okay, I like to braid hair. I like to make these little ornaments. Let me start figuring this out. You know what I mean? So maybe this board game, contact the brother Elliot, maybe the board game, different things he's into, what he has accomplished so far can inspire you to get everything popping. So the board game teaches you how to create a brick and mortar you can be playing with your kids, but on the low, learning how to start a business yourself. So y'all can actually learn together. You know what I mean? So do me a favor, family, go out and buy that game. Support my brother, Elliot. This has been another episode of the Melanated Convo podcast. Please follow me on all my social media sites. My personal social media site on Instagram is Southpaw_100. For the show, it's Melanated Convo 100. Like this video, share this video. And like I always say, man, sometimes all it takes is a conversation. Thank you for tuning in today, y'all. We out.